We're still dealing with Job and his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. But today, the title of the lesson is Whom or Whom Can I Trust? But we're talking about maybe the difference or the comparison between knowledge and wisdom.
Some people think they have a lot of both.
A lot of both.
They have less than a lot of
both. They don't have wisdom, knowledge is no good.
That is true. And I think that's what Job is trying to make his three friends understand. But what could you compare the difference between knowledge and wisdom? I mean, we've had some comparisons already. Number one, how do you gain knowledge?
Experience.
By reading, studying.
Things happening to you.
And some people, quote, are more blessed, let's say, with the ability to learn and do things than maybe others, but that doesn't mean that their knowledge is any higher level, maybe, if you want to put it that way. But do some people not apply themselves in life and not ever try to gain any knowledge?
Oh, Lord, yes. Then there's some people that have no common sense. But they're very wise, they're very smart, they're very intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know how to do the balance between using what they know, their wisdom, you know,
common sense.
That's what you call them geniuses that don't know nothing down here.
Just like the umbrella. They don't have an umbrella?
No. Yeah, that sure would be nice if they did, though, because I know one.
But what about wisdom? How would you define wisdom compared to knowledge? Is it the same?
It's knowing how to use what you've got.
What you got.
What you've done.
But do you... And we'll point out today is what Job is trying to teach, I guess, his friends. you could say that Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar had a lot of knowledge. They had a lot of book sense. And for the last two Sundays or three Sundays, they've just been, if you want to say, berating Job because of what's happened to him. Their knowledge of what they thought was wrong with him, Job knows is not true, but he can't make them understand. And today he's sort of going to point that out to them. It's interesting today. And we won't read all of this, but Eliphaz has another long spiel and just getting all over Job and telling him different things. Bildad only has a few words to say, but Zophar says nothing. It kind of makes you wonder if Zophar is beginning to see the light a little bit. But Job today... the main emphasis is in Job chapter 28. I won't describe this. Some writers describe this as a poem. It doesn't have the rhyme and the meaning of a poem. But the words that we're going to look at today, Job starts out saying in verse 1, "There is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth, and copper is smelted from ore. Man puts an end to the darkness. He searches to the farthest recesses for ore in the blackest darkness. Far from where people dwell, he cuts a shaft, and places forgotten by the foot of man. Far from men, he dangles and sways." Now we know, God created the earth, And we know from our readings and studying in Genesis, did God just create things one right after another and never stop? Once He created something and He saw that it was good, He stopped and He commented. And then He went on to His next project. But can we take from that some people still have a problem understanding or believing that one person created everything? What Job is pointing out here, and I think it's interesting in just reading, is when you think of silver and gold and iron and the different minerals that we have, how prevalent are they? Do you just walk out in your yard or walk out in the woods or someplace and you just see it lying everywhere? It's pretty much hidden. So if man wants to refine the precious metals, he has to go searching for it. When Job was talking about, let's say, the coal, we know how coal miners in today's world, how they refine the coal. It talked about in earlier days, if a coal miner found a supply of coal, they would get to the point, they didn't have the tools that they have today, they would heat up the wall, then they would pour cold water on it to break it apart. But today, you know, with modern machinery, they go down in shafts, they mine it, they have tools. And even in earlier days, they used dynamite, let's say, to blow it and blast it out. But his point is those people are looking for something that God created, but they're separated from everyone else. They're in total darkness, pretty much. They have to take their own lights. But they're away from everyone. If they make a mistake and have an accident, they're lost. We've seen that happen in modern day times. Modern day today, we may be able to rescue them, but a lot of times you lose a lot of people. But do people take life like that? Do they just go through life, let's say, in the darkness, not ever, are staying away from everyone, staying away from the Word of God? That's what Job is trying to point out there. The Bible is a book of knowledge. It was God's Word given to men and written. But also, you gain wisdom from the teachings in the Bible. This is what Job is saying here and trying to impress upon, quote, his friends again, is, you know, you're sitting here telling me all the things that I've done wrong, and you can't prove it, and I know that what you're telling me is not true. But deep in Job's heart, he knows that he is trying to live his life and has lived his life. The knowledge he has gained, he's done it by staying in tune with God and gaining his wisdom that way. Do we sometimes today get away from our one-on-one relationship, let's say our daily walk with God? Do we read and study the Bible as we should, like we should? And the things that we do read and study, do we take it and apply it to our lives? Or do we wait until we get here on Sunday morning to listen to the preacher and then close it up and go home.
I think we're all guilty of that at times. Because
yeah.
And this is a horrible excuse, but it's just a busy world. And, you know, if you work, you intend to get up earlier and something happens and you don't, and then through the day, you know, there's never quiet time during the day, and you come home, and I think we have all been at places in our life where we've experienced that. But I also think, this is my own, but you know, it does come to a point that the Lord just starts just kind of scratching away to where you do realize that you've got to have that time or you can't make it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When overdosed, when Paige went away to school, and y'all all know they've been church, you know, they've brought to church whether sometimes they want to come or not. They've always been church. Well, when she went to school, to college, she didn't, you know, you don't have to go to church then because your parents aren't there and on and on. And I just told Paige, I said, you know, Paige, if you go to church, even if you just go to a church service, you're going to leave there with one thing that would probably carry you the whole week when you're having those problems or difficulties or, you know, and that's kind of the way it is for us sometimes. We do come to church and you've had a tough week and you haven't spent your time and you do find something that does carry you. But and we're human, and he knows we're human, and that's you should be ashamed, and you know. But we're all guilty of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like praying, you know. When I pray, I want it like in a
minute. You want it instantly,
like microwaving it, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're guilty of the impatience, and that's what. But I'm gonna ask you: do you think the third one that got quiet? Do you think he had come from darkness, or he was in the darkness?
Good question.
Did he hush because he told me to ask that?
No.
But I mean, he got quiet, and is it because his relationship maybe was different than Job's really was? Because we read the story and know what Job is trying to tell them.
Well, maybe he understood Job more so than the other two. Or maybe
understood God more.
Possibly, yeah. Or, like I said, his understanding being deeper than Eliphaz and Bildad made him realize, I just need to hush because what I'm hearing is true. It
maybe
doesn't.
Maybe the Lord gave him, or give him wisdom.
Wisdom. Mm-hmm.
And he listened.
Mm-hmm.
He listened where the other shared, he listened.
Instead of using their own knowledge to continue. But the first mention, verse 12, Job asks, but where can wisdom be found? Where does understanding dwell? Well, we've talked about wisdom. And somewhat where it can be found. But considering what Job says, he's speaking back to them. You tell me where wisdom can be found. Just thinking about this is, do a lot of people think, just because I'm smart, I've gone to school, and I've achieved all these degrees, and I've got all these letters out beside my name, I don't need anything else. I know it all. I think there are people like that. They try to do it all amongst themselves. But there again, going back to what Job had talked about, the precious metals. And the comment I made is here, you can go outside on a dark night and you can look up into the skies and you see the stars. Certain nights you can see certain planets. You can see the universe with your naked eye. But there again, if you go outside on a bright sunshiny day and look down at the ground, that's all you see. You can't see what's beneath the earth. So that, let's say, is, if you want to compare edge with knowledge, you know from reading and studying what's underneath the ground. There's dirt, there's rocks, there's underground streams, there's metals, there's things like that. But does wisdom, if you had no knowledge, would wisdom bring that to you? Would it let you know that what you're looking at is, you just know, I'm going to walk outside today and I'm going to stand in a spot and I'm going to tell Betty, you know, if you dig right there, you'll find a pot of gold. My wisdom tells you that. But your knowledge says, no. But how many people are gullible enough to listen to someone and try to go along with that? But verse 13, it says, man does not comprehend its worth. It cannot be found in the land of the living. And we'll go ahead and read through 15. It's, the deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought with the finest gold, nor can its price be weighed in silver. Can you buy knowledge?
No.
You might think you can. I'm going to send my child to the best school in the world. They're going to get the best education out there. But it's up to the child. But wisdom can't be bought. Wisdom comes, in my opinion, everyday life. And if you want to say it's priceless, it's priceless. But I never thought about this. From your knowledge, if you think about the earth, how much of the earth is actually land, physical land? A fourth? But this writer pointed out about a third of the earth is actually dry land. The rest of the earth is composed of water. Now, in Job's days, you didn't have the flexibility of driving to the airport and catching a plane and flying across the seas. To go somewhere, you really had to make an effort. But they knew about the waters. And when it talks about, it says, the deep says, it's not in me. And the sea says, it's not with me. Talking about the wisdom there, those things you cannot gain just from material things. Because that's what Job is trying to teach them, is the wisdom you get from studying and learning from God's Word, is it more valuable to you than the riches you can obtain by mining for gold or silver, things of that nature? But how many times in life do people put more emphasis on material things? You know, I've got a safety deposit box over here that's just full of gold coins and gold jewelry and silver and things of that nature. That's great. I'll admit that. There's no problem with that, I would say. But when it gets to be to the point that that's all you think about, that's your main focus, is obtaining wealth and putting it back, we all know that in an instant, you could be taken away.
Don't you think that's one of the worldly problems today?
I think so.
More greed.
Because, you think about it, I'm not saying that having material things, having wealth is wrong. That the Bible doesn't teach us that. God wants us to have things. That's where the problems come from. If you want to tie that, compare that to wisdom, if you place your emphasis on gaining all the material things, but you never place any emphasis on learning God's Word, there's a big difference there. We have to have His presence in our lives daily. Because when things come your way, whether good or bad, do people... I know we've all gone through hardships. And you look back on those times when you suffered. Do you ever wonder why? Well, how did I make it? How did I get through this? But are there people who suffer and, quote, never get out of the suffering mode because they're all trying to do it on their own?
But, you know, we all know that grief has a process. I mean, it's taught that. If you go through hospice, you know, we do know that grief has a process. But the things that we deal with in the grief are things that are addressed in the Bible. I mean, He doesn't want you to be angry all the time, but there are instances when you do get angry. And, you know, a grieving process is that you are angry. You do get angry, and that goes with the grieving process. So, and we learn that through our experiences, and then other people teach us those things. You know, that's kind of like the knowledge part. But the wisdom part would come from when you're dealing with grief to realize that all that makes a full circle. And if you go back to the scriptures, He's going to help you through all that circle. You're going to, and you know, the us in here that have lost people that we loved, we all know where they are. So in the grieving process, going to Him, there is an assurance that there is a peace about that. It's just you've got to get through the peace, and you can't do it without Him. And we know that. But we also know, because you're talking about stuff, we also know there are people that are super smart and knowledge, and in their mind, they're going to take it all with them.
Somehow, some way.
Knowledge, no. The wisdom part, to realize that you come here with nothing and you're going to leave with nothing. But you know, we've been around people, y'all all know that. They're going to put it in the casket and take it with them because they might need it. And, I mean, that's not. That's right. And that's not true, because the Bible specifically tells that you come into this world and you're going out leaving nothing. And we know that folks who haven't studied the Bible don't get the message. They don't get the wisdom from the message.
And because even Paul earlier on warned in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." I won't read all of these, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 18, it starts out saying, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate." Now, does God only favor those who are very knowledgeable? Or does God sometimes choose someone who is foolish, who's weak, who you would consider just to be a very ordinary person and use them in a way to make the, quote, people who think they're very knowledgeable and wise kind of question what's going on.
Well, look, he took Moses, you know, and he's mm-hmm. look what he did with Moses. Moses was not a spokesperson. He could kill the Egyptian, you know, and all those things. And look what he did with Moses.
Mm-hmm. Because when our time comes and we're face to face with him, are we going to be able to profess all the good things we've done? No. We're going to be there because we've done those things. You're not going to get to the, I say, the pearly gates and have to beg your way in. Hopefully. But I mean, we know that what they say when the time comes, there are going to be those that will be taken away, and then the book, the good book's going to be opened, it's going to be read, and those who didn't abide and make it, you're going to be left behind. There's not going to be a second chance at that point.
We're going to have to give an account for what he has, you know, things that we were supposed to have done for him that we did not do.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. You're going to have to. But also thinking along just different terms and different things is comparing ourselves to an animal. Now, let's say compare ourselves to a hawk. We can't fly, but if you were standing on top of a mountain looking down in a valley and you saw this little mice or mouse running through the fields, would you be able to see it? But you compare yourself to a hawk who has the ability to soar and fly. His eyesight is keen enough that he can see that and swoop down and pick it up. Why didn't God create man that way?
Well, the
models
who were created in his image.
Mm-hmm. But if you compare yourself to that hawk, how do you obtain, let's say, nourishment?
God gives knowledge to plant food and raise mm-hmm. food, and the hawk don't have knowledge to mm-hmm. plant.
But he gave him the eyesight and the keenness enough and to support himself that way. Mm-hmm. Let's read in Job chapter 28. Let's go through verses 20 through 28. And I think this is where Job speaks pretty loud. He says, Where then does wisdom come from? Where does understanding dwell? It is hidden from the eyes of every living thing, concealed even from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, only a rumor of it has reached our ears. God understands the way to it, and he alone knows where it dwells. For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he established the force of the wind and measured out the waters, when he made a decree for the rain and a path for the thunderstorm, then he looked at wisdom and appraised it. He confirmed it and tested it. And he said to man, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. So from that last verse, we're understanding there. The only way to gain wisdom is to understand what God is telling us. Reading his word, studying it, applying it to your lives, and having that, quote, faithful relationship with him. Because I mentioned earlier about in creating the earth, just as an example, in Genesis 1, verse 4, it says, God saw that the light was good, and he had separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day and the darkness good. That was the first day. But he didn't stop there. He did maybe take and sit back a little bit and examine what he had done, and he knew it was good. That was his purpose. But do people fear the Lord too much sometimes? Are some people just fearful of the Word of God that they never want to be exposed to it? You go and you try to witness to them, and they just don't want any part of it. Are they afraid of gaining or having the knowledge enough to want to gain any wisdom about what you're trying to tell them?
They're afraid if they read it and hear it, they're going to have to let go.
They're going to have to change.
If they, you know, live for, and they don't want to change.
There are people in their lives that have trusted people, and the trust was destroyed. So you're taking them something and asking them to trust something that they can't see or touch or feel.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already been, say, destroyed, or their heart's been broken from somebody that was in front of them. So how do you think I'm going to trust something I can't see when I've already been destroyed by something I could see? So, you know, you're just, it's a, and I'm smart, I'm knowledgeable, but the wisdom part comes from, like you said, from shunning the evil and the understanding and to fear in the Lord. Well, you know, I've been human. I've had a relationship with a human and was destroyed. So why would I want to trust somebody else? Especially because I can't see him.
Mm-hmm. But along those points, if thinking about in your lifetime, does it seem like anything that comes about, whether it's someone teaching the Word of God or someone who is maybe trying to do something against your beliefs, are there always advocates against either side? Everybody's got an opinion. My opinion is correct, yours is not. So, what if the world wasn't that way? I mean, I'll bring this out. The headlines in the newspaper this morning just kind of blew my mind. Is the leaders are going to, quote, are concerned and trying to figure out why we're having all the problems we're having and why we're having all the shootings. I'm not going to say that if, because not everyone is going to come to the knowledge and the Word of God, but our society today has pushed away from that. And I think we're just seeing the aftermath of that slowly. And we all, and also along those terms, I look at there. Our society today, and this isn't part of the lesson, but our government is rewarding people for doing nothing, and then we wonder why we're having problems. I think the Word of God needs to be expressed. Now, I know that in recent times they have gotten together with city leaders and trying to get preachers involved, which is not a bad thing if it would work. But how far away from God have we got to get before people will listen again?
You want to hit rock bottom?
And what is rock bottom? You know,
are we there
or are we just at the tip of the iceberg? No.
Well, and you know, it's even as Christians, you get cynical about changing. You're going to make changes, but and the clergy's going to be involved. But are the people that are coming, will they really come to the light? Are they coming for an ulterior motive? And that's not the right way to think. I know that.
But no.
In the middle of it, and it's hard not to think
exactly
that way.
Right.
And so, and he, you know, he knows that.
Because this writer points out, and I'll close with this, God initiated the relationship with him. Mm-hmm. He wants everybody to come to his knowledge and understanding. He wants everyone to enter into a personal relationship with him. And it says, true wisdom for living is found in walking faithfully with the Lord throughout life, not in having every question answered. Because if your heart is right with God, we're going to question things, but we always won't know the answer. But there are some answers we don't need to know. And I think that's what Job's trying to tell these guys. You've got all the answers, and y'all have been talking with me and telling me all these things that I've done wrong, and I'm just trying to tell you, I know that there's a reason for what I'm going through. You have to listen. You have to get back in the Word and obey that.
Well, you know, we do. If I knew today about tomorrow,
you wouldn't get up in the morning.
That's right. Or if I knew, well, that's true.
Well, we'd all be in brasses if we
don't. We just have a line.
Yeah. And he says, worry about today, not to worry about tomorrow.
Right. Take it one day at a time.
But we don't do that. No, we don't. We already worry about tomorrow, what we're going to do, you know. People that deal with sickness.
Next year.
That's right. If you deal with a sickness, what's going to be tomorrow? If you're waiting, you know, you're anxious about your job and your finances, and it's just, and we know better. We just,
I have a praise. My son-in-law got a job.
Good.
Yes.
He took a big pay cut, and his hospital insurance went up to $720 a month.
Right. That's it.
But he has a job.
Good.
It's a star.
It's a star.
That's right.
Well, my dad said, if you go to Montgomery, it's a big thing.
Ma'am?
I think dope in Montgomery. If they don't know something about that, that's what.
But you know, that's a
big problem on my street.
It's getting to be everywhere.
And dead bodies keep laying over on my side of town. Two or more there lately.
Well, a lot of us is around, but we begin to lose our country in the 60s.
Yep.
They started going down in the 60s.
And this country turned from the Lord. It used to be a strong
God out of God school.
Can't pray at nothing.
You don't want to infringe on anybody's rights.
White people's quit having children now. There was more white people, they said, on the news this week died than they were born this year.
In the United
States. Uh-huh. More white people died than was born in the United States this year.
And you know what that means?
Sure, we know what it means. Mexicans and all these foreigners we let in.
That's all I've got, Miss Betty. Or Will, whoever.
Oh, my God. I ain't never beat up Moco.
It's not me.
Let me rock about for a second.
Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.